Welcome to Michigan Ice Guys, podcasting to help you fish hard water better.
Hey guys, it's the MI Ice Guys. Chaz and Steph are in the studio. We're back from Latvia, and we got some stories to tell and some things to share with you. Anthony, Chad, they're already off to Wisconsin. These guys never stay home. I don't know what their wife... Anthony must have stayed home for some period.
Yeah, they came home for a little bit, and then turned around and left today.
9 months ago, he stopped by home for at least an hour or so, because that kid looks like it's ready to come out from the latest ultrasound.
He's ready to pop.
Yeah, so we want to just kind of give you guys a wrap-up of how Latvia did, since ice fishing down here is pretty much done.
Yeah, we're pretty much shot down here. Everything's opened up down here around the Grand Rapids area, north of Howard Tucky. She's pretty much all open. You got to get up to Lake Cadillac, and Mitchell's got some ice right now that's left. And
yeah, but even that's a little risky on the edges.
Yeah, the shore ice is bad.
We were looking at going out to Higgins, and the shore ice was looking real bad on that, so we kind of backed off that theory.
I have it up by Charter City, Leland, and those lakes are all open, so stick to the small lakes up there and check that ice when you're going out there. Be very careful.
Be very, very careful, guys. And for those of you that can't get out there, you know, when we went to Latvia, it was pretty smooth. We flew over pretty smooth. Traveled through Frankfurt. Not a bad airport. You stretch your legs quite a distance, which after about, it was over 9 hours on the plane.
Yeah, it felt good to walk a little bit.
Yeah, we got our little exercise in and then sat around for a little bit.
Didn't have no medical emergencies this year on the plane, so.
Nope, not on our plane.
Didn't get the priority landing like we did last year, but.
But we had a good trip getting over there, and it was very easy to get from the airport to the hotel. That went real smooth. They actually brought something that was pretty much big enough to get all our luggage in.
Yes.
You know, so.
It's maybe 10 minutes away from the airport and Riga there to the hotel.
And our friends Sean and Brett were already there, so they kind of had a lay of the land for us. We got there, and our guys we talked about in an earlier episode, our anglers were able to go over in January. Well, they all had bags of Euro coins when they came back. So before anybody could change money, they had all these coins to get through. And that was our first couple of round of beers once we got to the hotel. So that was pretty thankful. Rooms were nice. Real nice hotel.
Yeah, very nice hotel.
And then getting on to fishing. On Monday morning, we took off and we're going to go off fishing. And the first stop was the Sawmill Store. Our good friend Sean Warner, he's the Sawmill Norfin rep and Lucky John for North America, and he had arranged for us all to get boots. And so we went over and shopped a little bit and then went out and got our boots. And
they did a nice job. They hooked us up on some gear. We got boots, hats, gloves.
Socks?
Socks.
A coat?
A coat, yeah.
The coat was too small for me, but my mom's loving
it. Euro sizes, and it was a beautiful coat.
Yeah.
And she's got to love it. Yeah, she'll like that coat. And it's got the left-hand zipper on it, so it's a...
Yeah. So, she was amazed at how windproof it was. And I know that Chad was wearing his fishing quite a bit.
Yeah.
So that was really pretty cool. Now, these boots, we got to talk about these boots. Because these boots...
Yeah, the ones we got are the Yukons.
Yukons.
Yeah.
And they're... -50°C. Now I put it in my conversion app, and that's -58°F. These boots are good too. Now, for any of you guys that know us and have seen us out on the ice, you know that here in Michigan we wear our Mickey Mouses quite a bit.
Yeah.
Now I weighed my Mickey Mouse boots, and each one of them weighs 56 ounces without the cotulas, without any frozen junk to them or anything. So a pair of these boots is heavy, but these Norfin Yukons that we got, I don't think the pair of boots weighed a pound.
Yeah,
it was less than a pound.
They are light.
It was maybe just over a pound after we put the cotulas on them. It was ridiculous how light these boots are. And so next year, if you guys are looking for a pair of boots, we're going to be pushing on Scott DeVries over at Allen Bob's to start carrying these things because they are amazing.
The Yukons and is it the Klondike?
Klondike, I believe.
The one have the built-in spike.
Had a little heel spike.
Yep.
Which, you know, some of the guys were using, but most of us put a pair of cotulas on over them because our first couple of days on the ice were glare. Yeah. And it was kind of crazy.
Having those Cthulhas was money right there.
So after we got done at the Salmo store, we exchanged a little money and stuff. We got out to the lake, and we got out there to the lake, and the edges were deteriorating. So we had to kind of slip slide down this slope. Now, that was good for that was not too scary for everybody except me, because I didn't have Cthulhas that day. We had to do a little rearranging the rest of the week. So
I don't know how you didn't bite it.
Oh, all day long, wow. Steph and I had the job of going around and doing our measuring. So we went all the way around the whole lake. We went all over the damn place. And as we were going around, Steph's striding right away because he's got a pair of Cthulhas on.
Mm-hmm.
And those spikes are the best things in the industry.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't have them, so I'm having to take short steps. And well, I got shorter legs than Steph anyway, so I'm trying to keep up. And there were more than once when I... How did you put it? I did my half gainer or whatever.
Triple sow cow. Yeah, saved it. He didn't crash, but it was great.
I was slip slide just like on the cartoons.
Seppa's back the following morning was probably saying, "The heck were you trying to do?"
That afternoon, my back was trying to tell me that I was nuts.
Mm-hmm.
But it was rainy that day. The wind was blowing, and it was warm. So the ice was just polished.
Yeah.
So
there was damn near white caps on the water it was forming. It was blowing that hard.
Half inch of water on top and there's waves on it. That was craziness. So then we waded off, and literally we waded off through probably better than a foot of water.
Yeah, because that lake elevated, changed heights as the day went on.
Yeah, we learned it was a tidal lake.
Yeah, so water come in and out. It'd vary a foot or two every day.
It was crazy. So the edges were broken off and moving, and the ice pack was up and down. But when we went off that day, we all waded through water, so our suits are wet and everything.
That was about a foot deep. Didn't go over top of the boots, so that was good.
No, those Norfin boots are tall.
Yep.
So then we get back to the hotel and all settled in, and they had told us that you got to pull the liner out of these things. Well, you can imagine with a boot that's negative 50 C, your feet sweat.
Yeah. We were roasting.
And so we didn't have a trouble keeping warm, although we did tease our buddy Sean about that a couple of times.
Yeah. Gave him a hard time. We're like, hey, man, our feet got cold today.
We were pulling his chain so hard.
What?
But we got all our measuring done. And we introduced some new technology of converting our depth files that we take with the GPS on my phone, with the app I wrote, into what are called KML files. Now, those KML files are a Google Earth file. Well, we learned how to integrate those into Google Maps, as well as work with our buddy Brian Gaber back in Wisconsin, who helped us out with some mapping things.
Yeah.
And we integrated up a depth map of all the areas around the zones. Now, as the week went on, we got to do that more and more and move closer to the zones to get more data. But all of a sudden, Steph and I came to a conclusion that, holy shit, this lake is moving up and down.
Mm-hmm.
So our measurements on a day when it's higher tide than lower tide, and a lot of that has to do with the wind blowing across the Baltic Sea, it was screwing us all up. So we had to add an algorithm in there to adjust for the height. So we had these reference holes that we checked the same spots every day so that we could adjust the data. And once I got it all back on the computer back in the hotel room, I'd run the algorithm and send the stuff to Brian so that we were trying to get consistent
depth readings. Yep.
And that was kind of a mathematical challenge to get to us.
That was a new one for us.
And, you
unique.
Know.
Unique to the area.
There's probably a little bit of a margin of error that we didn't compensate for by depths we took early in the day versus later in the day. So that was some craziness. Then we got another day where we got to kind of go play official and do a little bit of fishing. I got to fish for about 10 minutes. And Steph, you got to fish a little bit longer. And the guys were doing some practice heats. They were doing timed heats. They were doing first to 25. They were doing all those kinds of things to practice the speed competition aspect of it.
Yeah, I get a little feel for the competition.
Well, we couldn't fish near the zones.
Nope.
So obviously we had to go to the far side of the lake.
Oh, yeah.
Which we got to walk clear across the lake again.
For a few days.
And we walked over there and did these competitions. Now, we get back to the hotel, and, you know, it was just straight to the room. Maybe we'd grab a beer, but it was straight to the room and do our work. Because not only were we doing our mapping work, Steph was working with his iPad, working with his Navionics.
Yeah, and I got all the Nick's waypoints from when they fished.
Yeah.
We integrated that into our maps.
So. Steph was working on some paper maps. I was working on the electronic maps. We did a lot of work. I mean, we are the tacticians. And then we'd pitch in and help the guys retie lines and spool line.
Yeah, retie, spool, whatever we got to do to get everybody ready.
Fix some equipment. Here we were. We were all just working away at it. And we had a lot of fun doing that. Now, Wednesday and Thursday and Friday were official days of practice. So that meant Steph and I got to get close to the zones. So. And we got close to the zones, but the weather turned.
Oh, why did it turn?
And we were in sleet. Freezing sleet.
Freezing sleet.
And our reel, it froze up.
Yep.
And when we come back, we're going to tell you a little bit more about that. But we got to take a short break. We're the MI Ice Guys, podcasting hard water fishing in the Great Lakes State. But today we're telling you stories about Latvia. Guys, when you're out on the ice, do you protect your eyes? The MI Ice Guys have partnered with Costa Del Mar sunglasses. Made in America, made by hand. The thinnest glass technology for sunglasses, 100% UV protection. We love our Costas so much, we took them to Finland, to the worlds. They allowed us to see where other people had been drilling before, protected our eyes in the blowing snow, and kept us looking good on the ice. Made in America, Costa Del Mar sunglasses. Get them online, get them at a local retailer near you. Remember, tell them the MI Ice Guys sent you, and you need the best. Guys, we're back, and as promised, continuation of the story. So there we were in Latvia. It's the first official day of practice. We're trying to get all our depths around the zones, and we're humping the dog. We were running into the blowing sleet most of the time to get around the zones.
I mean, it would sleet and change over to heavy snow and just blowing sideways, and it was cold.
And it was, but it was blowing so hard that we had that braid on the reel, and we kept whipping up water every time you reel it up.
Yep, that wet line coming up through the reel.
And it just built up ice on the counter gear, on the line counter.
Yeah.
And so all of a sudden we realized we're getting bad depths, and there's chunks of ice in here. And so I'm in there, and I'm trying to blow it out, carve it out with my little forceps. And
put the reel in your jacket between test holes.
My shirt was wet from, trying to keep it warm and thawed out.
Mm-hmm.
It was crazy amount of work that we had to deal with on this stuff. And so after that first day, official day of practice, they were very nice, and they took us to another Salmo store so we could go shopping. But they gave us a 25% off coupon.
That was nice.
So we went in and looked at all the stuff that we didn't need. And basically a lot of stuff they had just given us with the jacket and the gloves and socks and
hats. First thing we were greeted to was a whole table full of shots.
Oh, yeah.
Of cognac.
Norman's had big old Norman's. He's a giant. You'll see him in our pictures.
Yep.
And he had poured up all these
hundreds
of cognac shots and then little glasses like Dixie cups of orange juice.
Yep.
And so everybody came in, got a shot or two or three, and some orange juice.
Did some shopping
and cashed out. Well, we had determined on the way back that, by dammer, we're going to get us some monofilament. So we hunked off. We bought a spool of mono and got back to the hotel room. And during line tying that evening, we hunked off about 30 yards of braid that Chad needed for his feeder.
Yep.
And then we popped on some mono onto the line counter to eliminate picking up all that water and freezing it up. And so we were spooling that. We were spooling palm rods. It was crazy.
And I was drawing my maps and working on those again, updating everything.
We had so much stuff going on that night.
You were downloading and doing all the online data points for Google Maps.
It was busy, and that continued over the next couple of days. We really didn't get to go see Riga.
No, we never.
We got to see it out of a bus window.
Yeah, we got to see the mall. There was like a little mall there that we got to go walk to.
Yeah, we got over there a couple of times.
Got all our fruit and juices and food and whatnot we wanted.
The liquor, the vodka.
Yep.
Yeah. So we, this trip was very much like our Finland trip in that Steph and I had to do a bunch of work.
Yeah, we didn't really have any off days where we had to time to go play.
We didn't get to go to the brewery. Yeah. I was disappointed about missing the brewery.
Got to have some good beer. The beer over there, I liked the beer better in Ukraine, I'll be honest with you.
I liked Ukraine's better, but
I liked Ukraine's better, yeah.
Yeah. Ukraine beer was better, but you know, this was not unreasonably priced.
No, no.
I'll tell you, because you didn't change any money. It was only 4 euros, so that was like $4.55 bucks. A beer, and it was a half liter of beer right in the hotel. Now, if you were like our friends the Swedes, Mr. Sweden and his crew figured out that they had this skunked Budweiser out of Czech for 1 euro a bottle. I took one taste of it, and I said,
holy crap.
I know why that's cheap.
Yeah, it was nasty.
But, you know, by the time official practice started, all our other buddies were there. All the other teams were in. Mm-hmm. And it was like a big reunion of meeting guys that you've seen the last couple of few years and then meeting some new guys. And
a couple of the guys, we got together the one night, two nights actually, and did some bowling downstairs at the hotel.
The hotel had a bowling alley in the basement, so it was beer drinking and bowling. The Kazakh team, actually, they pitched out a challenge to us and did a 3-on-3 tournament in bowling, and we won a bottle of Johnny Walker Red.
Yep.
Which didn't make it through the first day of competition.
Nope.
We got into that night. A little bit to ease everybody's pain from bending over the holes and working it. But it was really a pretty spectacular trip of seeing the guys, taking pictures. And if you haven't seen the pictures on Facebook from both MI Ice guys and USA Ice team, there's a ton of pictures out there that either I took, Steph took, Kelly took,
everybody posted.
Of the other guys posting as well. We just had such a blast. Now, competition days, we had like 2 days of really snotty, cold, wet. Then we had one kind of sleety, rainy day. Mm-hmm. Then we had a couple of sunny days. And then we had blizzard.
Yeah. Day one, blizzard.
And so all the
fishermen
teams
had snow drifts around them.
Oh, yeah. Now, you guys have seen the pictures where the fishermen, they kind of hunch over the hole. They're down on their knees, crouched down, protecting their line from the wind.
Yeah, it was a steady 20-mile-an-hour wind out there.
Yeah. So their back is to the wind. And they're, like Steph said, there's snow drifts up on their boots. Now, our job as spotters. And Steph, congratulations. You got named vice captain this year.
Yeah.
So that meant you got to run in the boundary zone while I was running the long laps on the outside. But I have bigger binoculars. And we have, basically, our job is to face into the wind.
Yep. That's where those Costas came in handy on blizzard, because it was
our Costa sunglasses.
You'd been blind.
And then on day two, I even put my neck gaiter on.
Yep.
Because it was bitey cold, and the snow was just
fine
pelting you. Mm-hmm. It was really rough stuff. So you'll see some pictures out there on Facebook of me with my red, white, and blue neck gaiter on, in my red, white, and blue and gray suit, with my red, white, and blue Costa sunglasses on, and my red, white, and blue Stormy Cromer.
I got to see if they actually, because I had guys coming around with video cameras.
Oh, there was a lot of them.
But I don't know where those that shots and that kind of stuff went.
We're going to have to dig for a little bit of that. I know AP interviewed Uncle Myron, and that guy, he videoed me for a good 5 minutes while I was standing there and looking through the binoculars.
Mm-hmm.
But I had a number of the other coaches, like Elsa from Finland.
Yeah.
She came right, I got to take your picture. It was pretty funny. So we were representing our colors well over there as we were doing it. Now the fishing, it got tough. When blizzard hit, the bite changed, the species changed. I think you guys remember that when we talked to Chad and Myron about their trip over in January, they were all touting how this was going to be perch fest. Perch, 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 perch.
Mm-hmm.
It ended up being that perch were a minor role. I mean, there was a fair number of perch, but there were a lot of roach.
Yeah, a lot of roach.
And, which is something they hadn't seen a lot of during their practice fishing on the very same spots.
Mm-hmm.
And then the slime ball breams came into play.
Oh, yeah.
And
skimmers and,
skimmers and slime balls, they were just, and, you know, hey, those are bigger fish, and they start tilting the scales kind of off.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, there were no horrendously large catches.
No, not any, like, killer ones. No, not like,
I think the biggest was a 2-point-something kilo. And, you know, most of our guys were running around 1-1.5 kilos for most of the days. So after day one, we found ourselves sitting there in fifth place.
Yep.
Looking pretty good, within reach of some medals. And we went out and found even more fierce winds on day two and changing conditions and a lot of frickin' sticklebacks. I know I was watching Lawrence's zone.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched one of our buddies from Mongolia. He stuck his hand so bad, he had to lay it in snow to help because these spiny little fish just stick you, and they're a little pain in the butt. And they're much like when you get a little dink around your bait here in Michigan, and you just got to catch the thing and get it out of the way.
Yeah, I like that little machine gun hit.
And so those were a big irritant during the day, and following them, because with the roach bite, you know, it was only a few fish per hole and you had to move.
Yeah, if you went down and got a stickleback, you needed to move to another hole, get some roach and maybe a few little perch. But once you got into the sticklebacks again, you needed to move and go find a roach again.
Yeah.
And the roach weren't holding any one hole. They were, you had to surf for them.
And the zones this year were very long and narrow compared.
Yeah. That kept you in that shallow zone, though. I think that was their plan, too, to keep us in that shallow.
So we didn't get into the big perch.
Yep. Took the big perch out of play, I think, by putting them as shallow as they did. Because you could get out there and maybe catch a rogue bigger perch, but that didn't happen.
I didn't see very many big perch at all. I think the biggest one I saw was maybe 400 grams.
Yeah.
And, you know, during practice, the guys, when they were there in January, they were getting 800-900 gram perch, and even a couple over, you know, knocking on the door of a kilo.
Mm-hmm.
So it really changed things up when we got there. So we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about weigh-in and give you a little clue in the insider of opening and closing ceremonies. Mm-hmm. We're the MI Ice Guys, Chaz and Steph, live in the studio, drinking a little beer, talking ice fishing here in the Great Lakes State. Hey, you looking for a relaxed spot to come have a beer with a couple of buddies? Swing on over to Schmoe's. 2600 Patterson, that's just north of 28th Street, right by the ice rink. We've got 16 taps, free popcorn, free pool, and free Wi-Fi. There's even outlets underneath the bar if you need to charge your device. So come on over to Schmoe's, have a great beer, bring the kids, we even have root beer. See you soon at Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson, Grand Rapids, Michigan. Hey guys, we're back. Hey, you know, one of the really, really impressive things over there at the Worlds are the opening closing ceremonies.
Yeah.
Now, Team USA, we kind of do it right. We take blazers. We wear ties. You know, I even got cufflinks this year, USA flag cufflinks. And we try and, you know, really make this a formal, serious occasion.
Yep.
This year's event, the opening ceremonies was at the hotel, and they had a little introduction of teams. You know, they get up and they read all the obligatory stuff and
did all the anthems.
Then they start playing the anthems and introduce the teams.
Yeah.
And this year they had each of the teams march up front
and stand for their anthem.
Stand for the anthem. And I was really proud of our guys. You know, everybody knew to, you know, put their hand over their heart. Our buddy Nick was carrying the flag. And then most of us even sang the anthem.
Yeah.
And a lot of the other countries, they cut the anthems short. Well, I think some of those Eastern Bloc nations, it's like 47 verses or something.
Yeah.
And
it
when it's
on
in,
and on and on, yeah.
Yeah, when it's in Russian,
it's like,
you know,
holy cow.
I don't know what they're singing about.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they played our whole anthem all the way through. And that was really, really nice. So we all filed up there behind the flag and all stood up in the front. And you'll see some pictures out on Facebook of us doing that. And we do clean up fairly well for being a bunch of ice bums. And then we went to dinner and had a nice little dinner there with the whole team. And they'd rearranged the tables so the whole team could sit together.
Yeah. Nice. They brought our meals out to us. And
yeah.
Good little meal there. And
it was a very nice meal. And so that's kind of the pomp and circumstances of launching the games off and officially open at that point. And that takes place after the first day of practice. Well, then, you know, during competition, everybody's in their ice suits and everything else and all mucked up and stuff. And then in the afternoon, you come back to the hotel. Oh, we didn't tell them about the pizza.
Oh, and the pizza.
So there was the first day of official practice. We get back to the shore, and they put us back on the bus, and they hump us all back to Salmo, and we go shopping at Salmo. And then after we get done at Salmo, we come back to the hotel, and they're like, we got to go. Everybody's got to go to dinner or lunch.
It's like, what are you talking about?
It's 4 something in the afternoon.
It's like, okay.
So we all went and ate lunch. And we go up to our rooms. A few of us took a nap or whatever, got up, and went to dinner.
It's time for dinner. It's like 7 o'clock dinner. It's like,
what the hell? Like,
we just got done eating 2 hours ago.
So then the following days, what they did was they had pizza out at the ice. And so each team would have a stack of pizzas, and they essentially gave you about a 12-inch, 14-inch pizza.
For each person.
For each person. They weren't real thick.
Had Chad's favorite vegetables on it.
Oh, yes. Lots of onions.
Onions, tomatoes.
So you'd watch Chad over there picking stuff
picking
off
picking everything it. Off of it.
But, you know, that and a Coke.
By the fourth day in a row of eating pizza lunch every day, I was like,
"Yeah,
I can only do a couple pieces of this stuff."
4 or 5 days of, like, oh my gosh. So it was, you know, that was our lunch. And then we get that one day, you know, they learned from that doubleheader. So competition days, we ate our pizza, got on the bus, rode back to the hotel. Everybody kind of ran upstairs and got changed real quick.
To get ready for weigh-in.
And we go down to weigh-in, and they had that down in the ballroom. And if you guys were lucky enough, I know probably a few of you that are listening actually watched it on Facebook Live. Mm-hmm. The Worlds were, they had their event page and they were broadcasting it. Our teammate, Scott Albright, he was doing his own kind of narrative. He has his own following of fans and stuff. So he was doing a Facebook Live as well. And we were watching the weigh-in. Now, the way the weigh-in goes is they've got these big blue drums. That out on the ice,
barrels, yeah.
You surrender your fish to the officials. They put it in a bag. They put a zip tie around it with your name tag on it, and they put it in the barrel. Then before they leave the zone, they seal the barrel with another zip tie so it's tamper-proof, put it in a sled, and haul it off. And they truck that back to the hotel. So these barrels show up in the lobby, or not lobby, but the ballroom of the hotel.
Yeah. One for each zone.
And they've got them all set up there with a scale and a drain bucket and such. And so they open up the bags, call off the name of the angler and country, and they dump them out onto this big screen basket to knock all the water out of them.
And a little bit of slime.
A little bit of slime dripping off them. And then they pour them into a big rubber or plastic tote to, on the scale and get a measurement in metric.
Yeah, they zero it out every time, so.
Yeah, we watch them. It's very accurate. And live, they're punching the scores into their spreadsheet, and it's showing
right
the rankings.
On the computer, yeah, instantly.
And so we had a whole lot of fun with interaction with people that were back home here in Michigan. Our good friend Janice Bodecker, she was online. Mm-hmm. Our pal Anthony, he was you know, just chomping at the bit for every bit of it. Watching it. He probably had it plugged into his TV at home, watching it on the big screen, at least on Saturday. And then, you know, you got the scores, like, immediately. It was so cool. And all of us wore our jerseys down there. We've got our red, white, and blue jerseys with our names on the back and all, you know, wearing various USA hats and stuff. We looked really pretty good. Then day two, same thing happened, except now they're showing team points as well.
Yeah.
Because it's a cumulative score for the team as well as for individuals to give gold, silver, and bronze for teams and individuals. So it got really kind of anxious, and there was a lot of cheering and chanting and stuff, and it's really impressive to see how all the teams respond and support their guys.
You get some cheer louder if they...
Yeah, our buddies
because
from
their team did better.
Latvia and Ukraine are real cheerleaders.
Oh, yeah.
They sing out quite well and chant it up and support their guys. It was a lot of fun. We made some new friends with some of the Bulgarians, which is, I think, is their first time competing, and they didn't do too bad.
No.
So we were pretty impressed with them. Then after that, you know, we had a little bit of time to kill, not too much, and then we took a shower, got cleaned up and everything, back into our coat and tie, and jumped in some cabs and rode over to a little banquet hall. It was kind of a retrofitted old abandoned building or something.
Yeah, it was one of the Salmo warehouses, I believe.
Was it?
Yeah, and then they retrofitted it and decked it all out for the closing ceremony.
It was pretty cool, and they had, you know, the lights and flashing spotlights and things like that.
All the countries had their tables.
We had our tables, and it kind of got funny because they brought us a bottle of red wine for each table. Now, there's 8 guys. You guys have seen the pictures. Mm-hmm. Steph and I are not small guys, and we're not the biggest guys on the team either. But, you know, all these guys, hey, like Uncle Myron says, work is done, let's party. We asked the kid that was our waiter. You know, what do you got to do to get more? He says, oh, you got to buy it. Oh, you got vodka? Yeah. And it was something like 18 euros. for a leader.
I need one for each table.
We looked at him and said, bring us two or three of them. He's like, oh, no. So we get one for each of the two American tables, and a couple other teams get them. And then the kid comes to us and says, hey, we're out of vodka. I said, did you send a truck? Like, oh, yeah.
All right.
I said, it better be a big truck. Because the teams that got there late, Russians being one of them, they had no vodka.
Yeah.
That's an international incident right there.
We shared.
So, we went through a few bottles of that, and you bought your juice separate and stuff. And then the kid came up and asked us one of the funniest things. He walked up and he asked us if there were any vegetarians, at which the whole table just started laughing at him. And we've got that on video, so that's pretty funny stuff.
That was good.
But we had such great outdoorsmen there. We had all our great buddies on the team sitting with us. We're all suited up and partying. And then we got to go out and after dinner kind of mingle, and the swapping started.
Oh, yeah.
The trades.
Trading of jerseys and
jerseys and whatever. Clips. And, Steph and I always carry a bunch
vendors
of little American
running around.
Flags. And
yep.
We had hats and T-shirts, and Chad got a pair of shoes. I'm like, this is craziness.
When we got back to the hotel, the trading commenced.
The trading really
got heavy.
You got
to go up to
this
room and see so-and-so, or you go head down here. And
I got a Lithuanian scarf. Now, all I did is show my Lithuanian hall club membership from here in Grand Rapids.
Yeah.
And they gave me a scarf and a big hug and everything, and I was honorary on the team. So that was really cool.
Yep.
But a whole lot of that camaraderie goes on, and everybody talks about the politics between countries and stuff. When there's fishermen around, that doesn't happen.
It's out the window.
One of the other really cool things is when we were traveling over and going through Germany, we had to go through passport control to get into the EU. And the federal police officer that was checking my passport asked me, well, what do you guys say to each other out on the ice, in a form of good luck? And I told him, well, we always say tight lines.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was really cool. He was happy about that. Stamped my passport, off we go. Our good friend Kelly was flying from L.A. to Chicago, then Chicago to Frankfurt, and then Frankfurt to Riga. She missed getting with us from Chicago to Frankfurt. So she was about an hour and a half, 2 hours behind us, but caught up to us in Frankfurt.
Yeah.
And she goes running through to catch the next plane to Riga. Well, as she went through passport control, of course, she's wearing her Stormy Cromer. She's wearing some USA gear, stuff like that. And they recognize that she's part of the team. And one of the lady that was checking her passport just stamped her passport and said, tight lines, which Kelly was like, totally flabbergasted. And so when she got to the gate where we were just lining up to get on the plane, she ran over to Captain Mike and I and gave us big hugs and says, you're never going to believe what happened, and told us the story. It was great and stuff. But, the USA, we did pretty well this year. We got 8th place out of 14 teams is where we ended up. It was very tough fishing. Anybody that thinks that this is, just some kind of fake thing has no idea. And even our newest anglers that joined the team this year, they were all aghast at the amount of involvement.
Yeah, the level of competition, the players that are out there fishing.
And these people, the people back home, especially on Facebook, they're, why are you catching bait?
Yeah.
They don't understand how tough it is to hook a tiny fish.
That's what these guys have been catching their whole lives, are these fish that we can't even practice on over here.
It's just craziness. So it's a whole different world. But when that national anthem played and we all went up front, I mean, there was more than one tear going from the guys. It was impressive. It was a very proud moment to be standing with all those American anglers.
Yep.
And
representing the USA.
Yeah. And we're the only Western Hemisphere team that goes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really a big deal. And the friendships that we've made, I told somebody, I said, I got like 60 happy birthdays this fall on my Facebook, not in English.
Yeah.
From guys in Europe.
Yeah. Finland, Europe. Yeah.
Even Mongolia.
Ukraine, Mongolia. Yeah. Everywhere.
Yesterday was one of our Mongolian buddies' birthdays. So I got out Google Translate and translated it into Mongolian for him and pasted it in, and it was great. It was fun. He sent me back a note thanking me for it. Well, guys, when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about tryouts. And maybe even if we get some time, we're going to talk about maybe doing a little winterizing. So we're the MI Ice Guys. Drinking a little beer, talking a little ice fishing. Ice is gone, so I guess we can still talk about it.
Yep.
We'll be right back.
Hey, guys. Chaz here from the MI Ice Guys. I want to talk to you about K&E Stopper Lures, especially the Scandia line of tungsten jigs. I've been having a great time fishing with these this year and last year. The new colors are awesome. Check them out. Get out there to your local sporting goods shop and look for that blue packaging with yellow text on it. Pick up a Scandia lure or 10. It's a whole lot of fun to fish with. They're bright, they're durable, and good stuff.
Hey, we're the MI Ice Guys, and we're kicking back, having a couple of beers. We've been wrapping up the worlds, and you know, now it's time to take it to the next level of information. Do you have what it takes to fish with us? Now, I know there's a lot of you out there that think you're the baddest thing out there, and you might be on your lake.
Mm-hmm.
But can you take your game and go against guys from Minnesota, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Illinois, even that crazy guy from Ohio?
Ohio, yeah.
Do you have what it takes to hang with us? Do you have what it takes to travel to Europe to raise some money and go and fish in an entirely new style? Palm rods. How many of you guys even have a palm rod?
Ground feeding.
Yeah. Steph, when did you get your first palm rod?
Oh, it had to have been probably one of the first years Chad got into it.
Yeah.
Got one of those.
I remember when he showed me one. I'm like, what in the?
It's probably 5-6 years ago.
Yeah. Now you and I can fling them things, you know. That day we were out with the Boy Scouts, and I started flinging perch up on the ice from, you know, better than 20 feet down. And, yeah, they were only 3, 4, 5 inches, but, man, just bam, 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 consistent. And it was very interesting to hear from the guys that went to the Worlds this year about how pretty much everybody out there on the NAIFC circuit that is a contender has palm rods in their arsenal.
Arsenal, yep, just in case. You got to drop down to not only smaller stuff, but just detecting the subtlest of bites with some of those really finesse spring bobbers that they have.
It's just a whole new game. So we're coming up on this weekend, St. Patrick's Day weekend. The guys are all going to be in Rhinelander, Wisconsin, trying out for the 2018 team. Now, if you want in, first thing you need to do, go to usaiceteam.org and click on the link there to find out more about the tryouts, the finals, and figure it out that you got to be there Thursday night.
Yep.
You know, a couple days, you got to be in Rhinelander. Costs you $50 to play, plus, you know, part of a cabin. You got to call the guys and negotiate to get in a room in a cabin. But you can have a chance at being on the USA team.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Steph, you're going to go over. You and Uncle Myron are kind of taking a coaching, supporting role over there.
Yeah.
We'll
be helping run the tryouts.
I got to go to
grading the anglers.
I got to go to Beer Fest.
And, you know, tallying up all the scores.
Yeah.
You got to work. So
I got to work, man. I took time off to go to Europe. Now I got to work.
I'm taking more time off, and it's like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Burn it up.
But, you know, there's going to be a lot of different things in there. Maybe stuff that you haven't done before. First thing off, you got a hand auger.
Yep. Hand auger, no electronics.
Yep, no electronics. You're going to fish for small fish.
You're going to be competing with guys that are using palm rods in that shallow water, and you're going to get schooled.
If you don't have a palm rod, you're gonna be in a hurt.
But that's what's good about the tryouts, too, is a lot of our current members and stuff will let people borrow their palm rods and try them out and learn and practice with them and even do tryouts with some of their equipment. They do share, and they do.
One of the greatest things about this kind of fishing is you don't have to haul as much equipment.
Oh, no.
Because palm rods are tiny, and you're going to be out there with just a fish bag to carry your palm rods and a hand auger.
Yeah, some of the guys made up bags like some of the world guys are using or some of the international competitors.
I saw Lawrence made a box.
Turned out pretty good.
So that's going to be pretty interesting. He forgot to put the fish hole in it, though.
Yeah, I sent him some improvements there.
Yeah.
And like I was thinking a little bag that goes to the back of it for throwing your wazzles.
Yeah.
Like you can just wazzle one up, you know, and just shove it in there and then now, clean it out later.
For those of you that haven't been following us and wondering about this new term that Steph's putting out there called wazzling, you're familiar with wind knots, tangles, snarls, free spools.
Mm-hmm.
All of those things kind of fall into the category of wazzling up a rod.
Yeah, I think that was coined by Tony.
Yeah, I think that was Tony the Tiger that did that.
Yeah.
But basically at that point, you know, you don't take time in a timed heat to try and untangle it. You just wad the thing up and chuck it in somewhere.
Or tie on a new jig or anything else because you got 18 others behind it to back it up. If you
bring an arsenal.
Yep.
And most of the guys, I was looking at those pictures that they had captured off the video of Alexi's box, and there were 24 spots for rods.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know our good buddy Tony the Tiger, Anthony, some days that wouldn't be enough, but he's been getting better.
He's been better, yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But we did see a couple of the guys. I think Ben Bleegan said that he wazzled up a number of them on his day one. I know Uncle Myron had a few in the bottom of his bucket. So it's one of those different things in the sport that you have to consider is that these are super delicate little rods.
Some of them got some real small line on them. They're like, you know, half-pound test.
Myron travels with his magnifying glass so that he can tie this stuff. Now, another thing that you guys really need to learn how to do if you're going to get into this sort of fishing is snell knots, snelling around the hook.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my palm rods are all pretty much rigged for Michigan. I've got a couple that are rigged for Europe. But for the most part, I'm using hooks or jigs with eyes on them, okay? Not the hole in the heads that we use in Europe. I've got a few.
Yeah.
But, you know, being a K&E guy, I try and use K&E jigs and stuff. And what you do is you kind of come in from the hook side of that eyelet and wrap it around the nose, come back around, and snell to the hook. Now, if you guys don't know what a snell knot is, get on Google. We've got it
Look it up.
Mm-hmm. MI Ice Guys has an article on it as well. And you can tie this. It's a much stronger knot than an old fisherman's knot. It doesn't come untied as easy. There are some more advanced knots, but when you're dealing with half-pound test, or as we start to talk about it, we talk about the diameter of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, probably the most common line that the guys were using over there was 0.066.
Yep.
That's of a millimeter. this stuff is...
That's like finer than a human hair.
Finer
like,
than frog's
damn,
hair.
It's like, geez.
Yeah, it's very tough to handle and work with, but it's very supple. Now, it does have a fair strength to it. Now, it does equate out to being somewhere between 3/8 and 3/4 of a pound test. All the packaging is in kilograms and such, and everybody's even picky about the brands of line over there.
That's one of the hardest things to find is the line.
Yeah.
That's quality.
If anybody's listening that's a line sponsor, we really could use one that knows about good, supple ice line.
Specializes in ice fishing line.
You know, I was looking online the other day about ice fishing line, and everybody's in 4, 6, 8, 10-pound test. I'm like, 10-pound test? I do not live in Alaska.
No.
I live in, you know, central west Michigan, where, you know, heavy line for us is 2-pound test through the ice. We're finessing panfish. And when we're on the palm rods, we're down, if I'm using a, you know, a USA line on this stuff, 1 pound is about where it's at.
Yeah.
You know, and trying to find a very supple monofilament 1-pound line. Now, if this is scaring you guys off, that's fine. We're going to be back getting Steph's boat out soon and horsing around with our 4-pound test, swinging cannonball jigs at some bait. But, you know, this style of world ice fishing and the palm rods, it's really cool. And if you're not going to make it to Rhinelander this year, I think, Steph, what do you think? Somewhere after the first of the year next year, we ought to hold an open house day for palm rods.
Yeah, do some palm rod training and just show everybody what they're all about.
Hey, if we get real early ice in December, we could probably bring Chad and Anthony before they leave off on their tour of all the tournaments.
Mm-hmm.
But one of our good buddies, Keith Neffen, he came over to our practice that we talked about in an early episode. And he picked up on that palm rod pretty darn quick.
Very quick, yeah.
Put a hurting on our boys a little bit.
Another one of our new people, Jake.
Which Jake?
It was...
Little Jake or Big Jake?
Little
Jake got that big perch on that.
Yeah, it was Little Jake, yeah. I kind of think what his last name was.
I can't remember either. I had looked at my notes, or look at my contacts.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know...
I hooked him up on some small jigs and...
It's a really...
I gave him like 3 or 4 palm rods and...
Yeah. Yeah. Now, if you become our best buddy and stuff, we did bring some extra palm rods back from Europe. We do like to do a little bit of selling on them to offset our costs of travel. But, you know, hey, we could probably make a deal on something. So, hey, it's the MI Ice Guys. We're going to come back with one more episode. No, you want to do it today or you want to do it next time about putting your stuff away?
We can do another episode on that one, I think.
All right.
Yeah.
We're going to come back. We're going
to
go
do one more to wrap up the year. We'll do one more to wrap up the year.
So look forward to us wrapping up Michigan ice fishing. How to put your stuff away so it doesn't get toasted over the summer. We're the MI Ice Guys. We've had a great season. One more episode to go. And maybe we'll even get Anthony and Chad to join us. They're off at tryouts. They were just over at the championships.
Yeah. We'll do a recap on how they did at championships. Maybe even get them in studio.
Or we'll dial them up on the phone if they can't make it. Who knows?
This year will be one of the rare years that you and I do not get to go out on April Fool's.
Yes. That's going to be
usually we're on Reed's Lake, April Fool's Day, just about every year.
I think maybe we'll bring your boat out to April Fool's Day. You guys have a safe weekend. And if you are headed for Wisconsin, remember to get on the site there, usaiceteam.org, or drop us a note through Ask an MI Ice Guy, and we'll help you out with getting information. And if you want to know more about trying to get on USA Ice Team, we're more than happy to give you some info.
Yep.
So tight lines, fellas, and get the boats ready. We'll be back here in about a week probably with another episode.
MI Ice Guys would like to thank you for joining us once again for one of our podcasts. Be sure to subscribe on miiceguys.com so that you don't miss any of our tips and hear a little bit about our fishing stories. Be safe out there, guys, and enjoy the fishing. It may thaw soon.